Hello everyone, welcome to the Tabitha Stories podcast. It's been a minute since my last episode, and I have missed chatting with you about everything interesting. So what's been keeping me away from the mic? Well, a few things actually. First off, scheduling interviews has been a bit of a challenge. Many of the folks I would love to chat with have been incredibly busy, which is totally understandable. But I am determined to bring you some amazing conversations. So I'm working hard to make it happen. On top of that, I've been thinking a lot about the direction of the podcast. I want to ensure that the stories I share align with my goals and vision for the show. It's important to me that each episode is meaningful and engaging, so I have been taking some time to curate the content carefully. But don't worry, I'm not leaving you hanging. To bridge the gap, I'm excited to introduce a summer series called My Summer of 2024. In this series, I'll share my summer experiences, including events and festivals I attend. I hope to give you a glimpse into my world and provide some entertaining content during this time. So stay tuned for the first episode of my summer of 2024 coming soon. As always, thanks for listening. Catalina Islands impacted the life of Luna. She grew up in a small community where everybody knew each other. Although living in a small community comes with its own benefits, there are also downsides, and that is something that was very present in her life. A sheriff on the island once advised Luna to leave the island so she could leave her abusive boyfriend behind. Through the app OfferUp, I met Luna in the summer of 2020 while buying 1945 newspaper. As a precaution, I have changed her name to Luna, which means moon in English. Luna loves dogs, and that is something I saw in her since the first time we met. In our first episode, she will be sharing with us about her life in the Catalina Islands. And as the series continues, I will share more about her life with dogs and how they have saved her life. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Tabitha Stories. This is another episode of Tabitha Stories, and today we have a special guest. And sort of like the story how we met, it was through OfferUp. I needed some newspaper to kind of like make a painting, and I sent a message to her and she replied to me, and ever since then, like, we met and we talked, I don't know for how long, and she told me her story. And ever since she told me her story, I really wanted to bring her into the podcast and share her story. At that moment, I wasn't doing podcasts, I wasn't sharing stories like this, but now I feel like I can bring her in and I can share her story. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Catalina Island. I recently, 2007, I moved off the island to Long Beach. And it was a big, big, huge change for me. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. It's been a challenge. It's definitely a different lifestyle. It's very much more quick. It's, you know, but I found my passion over here, which is dogs, boxers. I do a lot of rescuing. You know, I raise litters. It's, you know, kind of been my passion since I've moved over here.
Yes, and it's nice to see, you know, like how when you moved to LA, kind of like what was the biggest difference you say, because you say that it was very, you know, fast paced compared to Catalina.
Well, we don't have a lot of cars in Catalina, or people. It was just there's so many people, and so it's moved so fast. It just really kind of put me into a shock. I had a hard time, you know, basically even crossing the street once I got over here. But, you know, I grew accustomed. It's hard to explain when you live on an island. Everything's just very, that's it, you know, that's your life. That's, you know, the way people think, you know, it's all kind of in tune to where you live and what you're raised with. Over here, it was hard to make friends. It was just so different and just so fast that I couldn't, you know, my brain just wasn't, I was on island time, I guess, you know, and I just couldn't handle it, you know. I spent a lot of times indoors rather than going out. But I did learn a lot about myself. You know, it's just really different.
Yes, I can see what you're saying when you're saying like it's very fast paced, it's moving like so quick, and you know, you can see it's moving so quick, you need to, in a way, kind of like coming in from a place where everything is just so laid back, so chill, and then coming into an environment when everything is just so fast. It's kind of like, it is shocking, and sometimes, you know, socializing and, you know, meeting people, it's just difficult because everyone is just moving so quick, so it is hard to keep the pace with them, and that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, being raised there, you have your friends that you were born with, literally. You went to, you know, kindergarten with them, all the way through high school, and you don't really have to learn to make friends because they've always just been there. Over here, you actually have to, you know, put forward, you know, you have to, well, it was kind of weird. It was like I had to create myself, or, you know, I wasted a lot of time actually trying to be someone who I wasn't to make friends. And that was a lot hard lesson to learn, definitely. You know, over there, people just kind of accept you for who you are, what you are. We all take turns being the town drunk, kind of things like that. No one really cares, you know. But over here, it was trying to make friends was just so hard. You know, everyone's got jobs. You couldn't just show up at someone's house or, you know, things like that. There were certain ways things are done over here that I wasn't used to. So it took a long time to get used to.
Yes, it is very city-wise. Mm-hmm. And what you say kind of reminds me of me growing up in El Salvador, because with my grandma, we grew up in the city. So I was like, in a way, like I knew how everything was in the city. It was like, you go to school and after school, you go to the house, and in the house, you don't go out anymore. Mm-hmm. But then in my dad's house, where he lived like more like in the fields, more like in the, you know, urban area, more like, you know, like the community side. And that was only on the weekends. But in the weekends, it was like, okay, you know, I come into the house and I can go out. I can go anywhere I want. I can go play soccer, play games with my friends. And in a way, I can, you know, hang out with these kids. And in the school, it was just like, I can just hang out with these kids in the school, but outside of the school, I can't see them anymore because they're in the house, and because city-wise, it's more like
it's more close. It's mostly like one family, and that's pretty much, you know, the life that you see there. And sometimes, like, you may see it, like, I see, like, a way to get out of the city is probably, like, finding a community program where you can help, and that's something like that. Most effective way you can probably find a community inside a city, because it's just so complex.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, you can't, you have to be careful in a city, you know. You can't, for me, it was like a thing of trust of, you know, I didn't know these people. I had always been told to be careful, you know. There was this major mistrust of people, you know, and so here I am, scared to death. You know, luckily I had Vern, who I live with, and he was kind of my knight in shining armor. It was just scary, really. Really scary.
Yeah, and how were you, like, the first few years in L.A.? Like, how, well?
I didn't go out much at all. I actually became a full kind of recluse. It was that overwhelming for me. I the only time I would really leave the house was with Vern, or, you know, and that was really rare. Kind of, you know, I went through a major depression, you know, because it was so different for me. You know, I couldn't handle the cars going by. My driving sucked. I literally stopped on the freeway one time, you know, in my car. It was dangerous for me. You know, I just felt, you know, like this wasn't it, you know. But I was kind of stuck where I was, and I had to deal with it. And, you know, I probably didn't deal with it very well by locking myself in a house and pretending, you know, the whole outside world wasn't there. But, you know, it is what it is. I got a lot of time to think about myself and who I was and, you know, what I wanted. You know, and that was, it's turned out to be pretty cool, you know, finding yourself, you know, and just in different things and different way you deal with stuff.
Yes, and it's nice what you're saying, like, even when the depression came in and you were like, I don't know how to really cope in this world, really, I have never really been in this space where you see cars, pretty much, you see the police, but you see helicopters, you see everything, just moving in so quick, and then you come in, and you come to your house, and you're like, okay, you know, this is a space where I can probably sit down, and I can probably, you know, just relax, and in a way, you think about yourself, you think about, okay, who am I, what am I doing here, and in a way, you're like, what is my purpose in here, and what were, like, some things that you found out as you came into this space?
Well, I came off the island I was actually told to leave by the sheriff's department. A person who I was dating it's such a long story, but was an idiot, you know, and there was some, you know, abuse, and they said that if I wanted to keep safe, that I needed to leave the island, and I was so mad at that, so angry, because that was my home, and this guy had, you know, he was what we call a tourist, and, you know, he was, you know, fucked up on drugs, and, you know, I was probably, you know, I was fucked up on drugs too, but it was, you know, it was just such a situation. My dad had just died. I had just left my husband. It was, you know, I had to do a lot of self-realization of what and who I wanted to be, you know, and I didn't really like the person I was, and so I had to start making some changes, or at least thinking about it, you know. And that was, you know, on top of it all, that was probably the hardest part. I think why I didn't really leave the house was it was just so much to handle. You know, it was, you know, when you realize that you're not the person who you thought you were, or you think, you know, you have this idea of who you are, and then you just realize, oh, I'm not that good of a person. You know, I'm this horrible, you know, person who's self-centered and just very, you know, narcissistic, and it hurts, you know, when you realize that. But it's also the beginning of change. I had always been told, you know, change, you know, you need to change, but no one really ever told me what to change into. And that was, you know, what do you change into when you don't really know anything else? So it's kind of a funny story. I took a list of virtues, and I went down the list, and I checked off the ones that I wanted, like it was shopping. You know, hey, I need this, like it was a grocery list. But then I picked one that I thought I could do for like 30 days, and that was honesty. And for 30 days, I did not tell a lie. It was really hard because, you know, you don't want to hurt people's feelings. Not that I had that many people I was talking to, but, you know, when you know, the person I was living with, you know, you're trying not to lie, but you don't want to hurt their feelings. And it, you know, it seemed to catch on. You know, after 30 days, it felt good. You know, I had taken some responsibility for my actions. You know, I just owned up to my own shit. And that was kind of the beginning of a bunch of other things just falling into place. You know, there was loyalty. There was, you know, I had made this list of people who I had admired, people in my life, and who I wanted to be like, you know. And then there's the, you know, what do you want people to say about you when you die? You know, so I took some of those too. You know, I really made an effort to try and change. And that first 30 days was really hard because there is a lot of denial, a lot of just different things that, you know, you don't want to see the ugly part of yourself. You know, and a lot of tears and a lot of, you know, let's drown it out with drugs and let's, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is, but it was probably the best thing. You know, moving off the island was the best thing that I could have ever done. You know, even though I went kicking and screaming, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today without that change. Not that I'm like anything special nowadays, but you know, at least I know who I am.
Yes, and what you're saying is sometimes like you need, you were saying like sometimes you don't know. People are telling you need to change, but they're not really telling you where you need to change in. And then as you come out of these places, you come out of the drugs, as you come out of this place, you're like, you know, it can be very, very difficult for someone to kind of like leave that place, because sometimes like when you have emotions and you're trying to forget them, it's just like in a way you're in a way hiding them. And then as you're saying this list that you created, the list of, okay, I need to be honest for 1 month, and for that month that you were honest, it was in a way you stopped hiding what, or you stopped putting your emotions away. And you came in and you took them and like, okay, you know, I feel this today. And you told yourself, I feel this emotion. And in that way, it was like, in a way, a self-reflection and a self-affirmation that even though it is hard, you know, like at this moment, and you're moving out to a new place, and you're trying to get out of this hole that you have been in. And as you're trying to do that, new goals that you have set yourself in a way just come in, and they just kind of like in a way come to be the change that probably you needed, but no one told you about it.
Yeah, it's Oh, it's so hard to put words to it, you know. It just, when you just try, you know, changing one little thing, it's amazing how that snowballs. You have to be able to be honest, I think, to yourself, or, you know, looking at yourself. And that was really hard for me to do, because I wasn't a very, you know, nice person. I was, like I said, I was really selfish and hurtful to people. And I thought I was like the greatest thing on earth. I thought I had it all. I had my shit together, like literally did not. I mean, I had to look at the mess that I had created, and it's not easy coming out of it, and it definitely didn't happen overnight. One day at a time, basically, trying to be a better person, you know, making a conscious effort to make a change in your decisions and in everything. Sorry, my dogs are loud. But I mean, it was fun too, in some sense. I really actually got to kind of create a new person, a person who I wanted to be, who I wanted other people to respect, and not just, you know, there were people in my life that I really, really had hurt, and be able to come back and try and, of course, I'm not perfect, never will be, but at least I could look at me and say, oh, hey, like maybe there's a little change there. I mean, forgiveness does not come easy.
In our next episode, Luna is going to be sharing with us about Freedom, the boxer who changed her life.
When I saw this little puppy, my heart just completely melted and it was all over with. And so after Bud passed away, we got Freedom, and she's my white boxer, female, she's 10. She's my complaint department. She likes to talk. I'm surprised she's not trying to overtalk me right now. But she just gave me so much joy. And she kind of gave me a purpose, you know, and this was a beginning of something I had no idea where I was going.
From Tabito Stories Podcast. This is our first episode sharing the story of Luna. Follow Tabito Stories at Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts as Tabito Stories Podcast. If you would like to help spread the word of the stories, please tell your friends about Tabito Stories Podcast. Subscribe and follow Tabito Stories. Thank you.